You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
Sign said 40 miles to Canada, my truck tore across Montana. Ian Tyson sang a lonesome lullaby. And so I cranked up the radio, 'cause there's just a little.
Joining us now on the Drew Marshall Show is Paul Brandt, but before we get to Paul Brandt, I want to hear Paul Brandt sing, folks. This is a kicking tune. Here we go.
I'm Alberta bound. It's a piece of heaven that I found. Rocky Mountains and black fertile ground. Everything I need beneath that big blue sky. Doesn't matter where I go. This place will always be my home. Yeah, I've been Alberta bound for all my life.
Now the most awarded male country artist in Canadian history joins us again to chat about his recent trip to Cambodia. Boy, did he have a time over there, folks. We're going to hear all about it. The man himself joins us, Mr. Paul Brandt. Paul, did you like that commercial we played there earlier, how to turn your child around in 1 minute or less?
That was great. Yeah, I might need to get that number.
Yeah, write that down. I think one way to do it is to actually take your kid to Cambodia. That's kind of smartened them up, right?
Oh, man, I'll tell you, it'll smarten just about anybody up. I thought it was really interesting. I don't know if you had a chance to follow along on our blog, but we had some really, I think, incredible experiences while we were there. And one of the first stops on our trip, we had a layover in Hong Kong for 10 hours, and we went to Disneyland. And I kind of got a smirk on my face as we're walking around in Disneyland there for an hour or two, just thinking to myself, what an incredible image that is of the place we were coming from and the place we were going to. We kind of live in Disneyland in North America.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's kind of a strange juxtaposition, really, isn't it?
It really was, you know, and we kind of saw that everywhere that we went in Cambodia, you know, just you know, seeing the difficulties and the horrors that these kids are going through, the terrible times that they're having there, and just realizing how great we've got it here, with the idea that we've got freedom, the opportunity to be able to do what we want to do. It was pretty amazing.
Paul, what was Ground Zero like?
You know, it was pretty sobering and at the same time very hopeful. I don't know, you know, there was a Dateline special a few years back that kind of really brought the issue of human trafficking and the child sex trade to the forefront.
Yeah, Brian McConaughey was on that one.
That's right. And this, he took us back to that place. And he said, you know, I mean, he was actually kind of shocked walking down that street. It kind of gets him, I think, every single time. Last time he was headed down that way, he needed, you know, about 60 or 70 police officers to come down with him to make sure he was going to be safe with their guns, you know, and it's a rough place, and it really is kind of the center of one of the main trafficking points for these kids in Cambodia. And what was bizarre about it to me is that, you know, I'm sitting there, we're you know, in an area where these kids actually came out and I got to play my guitar for them, and they sang some songs back to me. And then they took a minute and they prayed for me.
Oh.
And we're right in the center of darkness. And there was this light, this almost carnival of Christian activity happening while we were there. And it was as difficult as it was to know that most of the kids that were there singing for me were going to be forced to go and sell themselves and be used that night and abused that night. For that brief moment, they were free, and we're hoping that because of the work that we're doing over in Cambodia and the fact that we're bringing this message to people, that maybe we're going to be able to make a change to keep them free, you know, for the rest of their lives.
I remember Brian McConaughey first telling me, of course, Brian's with the Ratnack Foundation, first sort of painting this picture for me. You know, here are these little girls playing, having fun with you. They're just being normal little girls. And then it's time for them to go. And you know what they're going to. They're going to an evening of multiple rapes.
Yeah,
and the contrast between that moment that you're in playing with these children, knowing where they're going. Oh man, I mean, you know, you're a dad, and so am I, and I'm just thinking, golly, that just drives me nuts.
It's absolutely maddening and heartbreaking. I brought my cousin along. He's become a really good friend of mine since I moved back to Canada from Nashville, and he's 18 years old. And you know, I think that these ideas and these issues are hard for anyone to grasp and to, you know, really just figure out. And we asked, I asked Tony, I said, you know, how did you feel about all this as we were walking down there? And he said, I just wanted to take a baseball bat and I just wanted to go find those guys. You know,
yeah.
And that's the way that you feel.
Yeah.
You know, you feel really angry and you almost kind of want to go Rambo on this whole thing. And I think that the thing to remember is that there are great organizations like RATNAC that are identifying other groups that are already working to affect huge change over there. Mm. And not only to rescue these kids right from the front lines, but also once these kids are rescued and they get out of this out of the situation, to rehabilitate them and give them hope for the future. So RATNAC is doing an amazing job there. We also visited another great organization called Place of Rescue, and people need to check that out too. Marie Enns has been there for years and years and years. I was joking with people, she's like the Garth Brooks of Cambodia because everybody knows her there. and she's done some amazing work there as well. It's not, the work she's doing isn't as frontline work with getting these kids out of the brothels, but she's taking kids who may be at risk at going into the brothels and has been taking care of them for years now. So Place of Rescue is another great place to check out.
Can you tell me about the day where you sang I Do, even though you sang it a cappella?
Yeah, it got a little bit rushed at certain points, and our group had to split up a couple of times. There was one group of girls that we wanted to go and visit, you know, Brian had worked on a case to rescue these girls specifically, and I know it's really near and dear to his heart. And he wanted us to be able to go and just hang out with them. We didn't want to bring our whole group because I think it would have been kind of intimidating for them coming into their house with everybody that was there. But just a few of us went in, and it was probably me. I forgot the guitar in the van, and then the van took off. So there we were sitting there and trying to figure out what we're going to do. And we told stories about where we came from and showed pictures of, I showed pictures of Alberta, and we showed pictures from across Canada. Our group was kind of representing different areas from across Canada, and then I sang the song I Do to them and explained to them that it was a song about a man who loves his bride so much, and he loves her with a love that is never going to leave. And there were a few moments, you know, during that time, and when I sang it for another group of girls at another place where they're getting help and being rehabilitated, where I kind of saw one of the girls sort of turn her head over to the side and just kind of let out a sigh. You know, it was just so romantic, and she just loved it so much.
Wow.
And it was really fun for me to, you know, to be able to just see the music translate to them in that way and let them escape through that. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, you're singing a love song to a bunch of girls who have been forced into a distorted view of love. I mean, you can't even say the word in the same sentence, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
They don't get what you were singing about.
No, you know, it was pretty neat, though, you know, to be able to see these girls who have been rescued from that way of life and you know, I mean, as much as they're going to be dealing with these demons, I'm sure for, you know, the rest of their lives, they've started to make ways into, you know, having a normal life and as normal as it can be after these horrible things that have happened
yeah.
to them. And that idea of a love that'll never fail definitely translated to them.
What did Paul Brandt learn about forgiveness on these kind of trips? What, you know what I mean? Because you think about what these kids go through, and yet in the midst of this darkness, in this quagmire of filth that they live in and process every day, you wonder how they can smile or how they can continue or how they can have joy or peace or whatever. And you wonder where forgiveness fits in all of that, even with us. Like, you know, Brian and I have sort of mentioned, much like you and your cousin talked about, you know, taking a bat to the perpetrators.
Yeah.
Man, you know, there is even forgiveness offered to the perpetrators should they so desire it.
Yeah.
But it's the furthest thing from our minds. So how do you process forgiveness when you're over there?
Well, you know, it really is a heady thing, and when I really think about it, when I think about these little girls, a part of their rehabilitation process is for them to write a note of forgiveness to the person, sometimes their parents, oftentimes they're their parents, who sold them into prostitution.
Wow.
You know, and to write the things that have hurt them and that they can't seem to shake onto a balloon and then let that balloon go and fly up into the air. And these ideas of letting it go, it doesn't come cheaply. You know, I mean, we have to always remember that that forgiveness came at the price of Jesus Christ dying on the cross. And so it's not an easy thing. But his example is something that we look at and are able to go, well, if he was able to do that for me, then maybe there's hope for the rest of the world as well, you know. And so it really, you know, you think about these things and you look at the broken world that we live in. Those perpetrators are not doing something that is normal and is something that is good. And that's because they've come from broken pasts themselves.
Yeah.
That's not an excuse.
No.
But it's something that I think we all have to remember that forgiveness is offered to all of us. And when you see these little girls able to do that and then move on in their lives, it was pretty inspiring.
Yeah, the unfairness of God's forgiveness because of Christ, the unfairness of it drives me batty. And the unconditional love stuff drives me insane as well. It can be quite irritating at times.
Yeah, it really can. You know, I think one of the comments on our trip, you know, as we were you know, listening to some of the groups that are working with these girls, one of the things that they said, you know, these girls a lot of times have a lot of anger and a lot of rage, understandably. And as they're going through rehabilitation, you know, it's difficult for the caregivers to be patient with them and to, you know, try and see through all of that stuff. And one of the people piped up and said, you know, one of the hardest things to do is just to love unconditionally. And loving doesn't mean you let people, you know, run over you. There are boundaries and guidelines to it all, but it means that you have patience and you're long-suffering and you hang in there. And, yeah, it's a very, very tough job.
Paul, can you tell me about the day you were going to plant a tree in honor of your Baba?
Yeah, it was a really difficult day, and at the same time, you know, I mean, it was hopeful. You know, my grandmother, we call her Baba. You know, she loved to garden, and was really into just being outside in her backyard and things that grew. You know, and I always thought it'd be a neat tribute. And I talked to Marie Enns at Place of Rescue about all of this, and Marie thought, you know, we ought to plant a tree in honor of your Baba. So we went to do that, and you know, as folks read the blog on the website, they also found out that Liz and I had a loss of our own while we were there. We were expecting a baby, and it was actually very early in the pregnancy, but still, you know, nonetheless difficult. And she had given me a little glass figurine on my way out of town, just to sort of you know, have with me as I was going to think about our new arrival. And got the word that that arrival wasn't meant to be while we were there in Cambodia. So it ended up being a memorial in a couple of different ways. And that little glass figurine was planted under that tree. And you know, I think that even if I hadn't been planting trees and remembering things while I was in Cambodia, a piece of me will always be left there. From the first trip that I was there 4 years ago, when I got a chance to see these little kids and see the horrible things that they're going through. It took a piece of me, and I think it'll always be there. It's an incredible place, and there is hope for Cambodia. And that was a pretty poignant moment for me, though, getting to plant that tree and know that part of me will always remain.
I really hope we hear from you in the not too distant future. A song entitled "The Pine Tree and the Penguin."
That could be a good one, hey?
Seriously, that could be unbelievably. Yeah, amazing. So, and condolences. I've known many ladies over the years who have miscarried, and it is, no matter how far along you are, it is tumultuous.
It is. It's a difficult time, and you know, just to know that we're a part of, you know, a group of people that can be empathetic to each other with that. Now, we had great support from people responding to the blog, so I thank you for that.
Good, good. Well, before we say goodbye, bear with me, please. I'd like to read one of your blogs, which I found quite poignant. So, even though I'm interviewing Paul Brandt, let me read Paul Brandt talking to Paul Brandt. Does that make any sense? Hold on a second. I remember my first job. I was a busboy, bussing tables, washing dishes, cleaning bathrooms at Denny's. It was an awful job. waitresses were mean, bosses were weird, and waiters took tomatoes off the used dinner dishes and threw them so they stuck to my back while I was hunched over a steaming sink and dishwasher. That's nothing. I met little girls today whose first employment was to be forced to do the unthinkable, the unspeakable. Babies, really, who have been tortured beyond belief. I could understand them being broken beyond all hope, and they do have a whole lot of healing ahead of them, to be sure, but they surprised me. I expected sad faces, unable to cope. I was looking for hopelessness. Instead, they smiled and sang to me. The fact that they are functioning at all is really a miracle, but today we shared music. We lost ourselves in a moment of escape that transcended. We visited various places and projects funded by the Ratnack Foundation today, and the girls were amazed. The girls there amazed us with their resilience. A word, by the way, that has no equal in Cambodia's native tongue. The brave girls we saw today are defining what it means to be resilient for this entire nation. Various projects we've visited on this trip have been founded to help these children and teens build a life again. And I'll never complain about my job again. Quite a blog, Paul.
it's the truth as I saw it while I was there. And you know, those girls are such an inspiration. And I think the least that we can do, if we've heard this message, some of us might wish we never would have heard it because it makes us responsible. But the least we can do is try and figure out something that we can do. And one of those things is to go to ratnack.org. They're doing incredible work to help these kids get out of this horrible situation, and you can definitely help.
What exactly happened with Larry and the snakes?
We went to this floating village. The folks that are in that area are primarily Vietnamese. They're not allowed to own land in Cambodia, and so they end up floating along the edges of this huge lake, and earning their living by fishing. And one of the things that a couple of the kids were doing, I couldn't quite figure it out, but they had these huge snakes wrapped around their necks, and they would come up to the side of the boat, just floating in a little boat.
And they were live snakes.
They were live snakes, and I'm looking at this and thinking, well, this is curious, you know, and I then realized that Lara, our guest blogger, was huddled in the fetal position down in the bottom of the boat, and she's horrified of just the word snakes, let alone seeing them, and so I couldn't resist. I decided to hand the girl was asking for a dollar, and I couldn't figure out what it was for. But it turns out she wanted to come into the boat and put the snake around my neck.
Oh, you're so nice.
Yeah, so I told her no, it was okay. She didn't need to come into the boat. Poor Lara just had a heart attack. So we had pretty lighthearted times while we were there as well.
How did you get the nickname Larry?
I don't know. I think it was, Sean Campbell, who was formerly of Samaritan's Purse. He ran Samaritan's Purse in Canada for years, was there with us on the trip.
Yeah.
And it was the first thing out of his mouth. He said, "Hey, Larry, how's it going?" So yeah. We dubbed her Larry, and it ended up sticking.
I'm very disappointed, actually, that you did not eat a deep-fried tarantula.
None for me. That's fine. I don't know if you saw the video. I just kept saying, I'm full. I couldn't eat another bite.
Couldn't eat another
bite. No, not going to happen. But my cousin was brave, and Robin Adair, on-air personality for Country 105 here in Calgary, came along with us, and she at least ate a leg, so she felt pretty good about that. It's amazing what people will eat.
Dude, that's nasty. I'm just telling you.
It really is.
That is just nasty. Well, look, every time I have you on my show, it's a lot of fun. You are a great communicator. You're a passionate guy. And as a matter of fact, every time I have you on my show, my friends' count goes up because no, really, because here's it. Like, there's a gal in town who I helped film a video for CMT. She was going to be summer host for the summer, or super host, okay, or what, a super fan turns host. I don't know what it was. I helped her film this little video, and she is just a diehard Paul Brandt fan. As a matter of fact, she said, "Will you ask him if he will sing at my wedding?"
Oh, that's great.
And I said, "No, I can't ask him that, but I can certainly tell him the story." And then there's another guy that said, look, he's a great singer. So when you send him my song, everybody loves you. Everybody wants something from you. You're like Canada's, Prince Charming, buddy. You really are.
Well, thank you. That's very nice of you to say.
Well, I like you too. So anyway, Paul, thank you for sharing your guts with us about this whole trip. It has been an absolute mind opener. So thank you.
Thank you, Drew. And I appreciate you allowing us to use your platform to talk about this. It's amazing, and I hope people will jump on board and help. One more thing before I go.
Please.
On our website at paulbrandt.com, there's also a link for you to be able to figure out how to write a letter to your MP or to the Prime Minister.
Great
and
point.
Let them know how they can help with this as well. If you can't help with Ratnak financially or through any other support, you can write a letter, and that's enough to make a huge difference.
Brilliant. Well said. Very well said. I went to that page, and that was very, you know, sometimes we hear these passionate pleas, and then we go, that's nice, and we're not really sure what to do or how to tackle the problem, and that page was brilliant. So, again, paulbrandt.com. Folks, that's where you need to go to make a difference. I appreciate your heart. I really do, Paul.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, man. Bye-bye. Paul Brandt on the Drew Marshall Show. Mari, I hope you enjoyed that. I did ask him if he would sing at your wedding, sort of.
I like how you subtly did that. I'm not going to ask. I'm just going to tell you a story.
Yeah, I would never ask.
Never?
No. It was good. I like Paul. I always like Paul when he comes on the show. He is a genuine, genuine cat, and I'm just so sad to hear that Liz miscarried. It is a tough thing to go through, so please pray for Paul and Liz for sure. We will be back very, very soon, folks. We got lots more coming up, including Stephen Mansfield. Folks, he's the author of The Search for God and Guinness. Yes, we're going to talk about Guinness beer today. This could be the best show I've ever done, folks, ever.
Like what you've heard? Listen again online at drewmarshall.ca.